It is no secret that the Honolulu Police Department's ranks have thinned. HPD has about a 10% vacancy, and those hundreds of jobs have drawn very high interest from off of Oahu's shores. Besides the regular beat jobs, the department's communications division has openings for those interested in the radio dispatch side. We talked to HPD recruiter Tori Sakiris and Thalia Burns about what's driving the mainland interest in these local jobs and how much of the recruiting effort has gone online. Burns has been with HPD for close to 40 years, and Officer Sakiris worked as a dispatcher on the mainland before returning home to Hawaii some 7 years ago.
We're doing virtual info sessions. So previously, if you wanted to learn about our process, you would just have to use the resources online or call in. Now we are doing online virtual info sessions so that people from out of state or off island can log on and do a screen share and talk to recruiters live, learn about the process. We've also consolidated the trips. Previously, it used to take about 5 trips to go through our process to become a police recruit if you didn't live here, which can be very expensive. And especially right now with the COVID restrictions, that's not reasonable or realistic, right? So we've narrowed that down to 2 trips now where the processing is consolidated and you kind of do multiple events in one day. But like I said earlier, we've postponed that until the 14-day quarantine restriction either changes or there's some sort of exemption that's applied. We're also looking into possibly doing recruiting off-island to kind of start funneling in those 900 plus numbers of people that are expressing interest in our department.
That's a high amount, isn't it? 900?
Yes, it is a high amount.
Have we ever seen that? I mean, usually we have other counties, you know, King County, you know, folks like that who come and recruit our officers.
Right now that number is high because it's been building up since March. We haven't been able to test people since March, really, that don't live here because of that quarantine. So the interest is there. It's just a matter of keeping that funnel flowing. And that's why that number is so high now, because that exemption that was tentatively scheduled for August got pushed back to September and now October, and now they're still discussing it. So until we either come up with some sort of pre-test clearance where they don't need to quarantine, like the governor was mentioning, or we send our people up to the mainland to start clearing, releasing the tension on this funnel, yeah, that's why the numbers are so high.
And share with our listeners, what is the average pay for a new recruit?
So police recruit starts at a salary of just about $72,000 a year. And that's base salary plus a differential pay that officers get. And so it's a really good starting salary. I mean, it's gone up significantly over the past 10 years just with step increases and, you know, the union SHOPO pay negotiations and stuff. So good starting salary. After the 1 year of training, they go up and I think it's about a $2,000 or $2,500 increase. And then from there, they get a either city step movements every 3 to 4 years, and then whatever the union negotiates as well.
Thalia, talk about these positions. Most folks know them as radio dispatchers. You've got a new title. So what's the snapshot? What's the vacancy rate there?
So the snapshot on that is we've separated our positions. So we have police communications officers 1, and they come in and they do strictly call-taking duties and data entry type duties. Then if at some point they desire to advance, they can go to a police communications officer 2, and that incorporates call-taking and police dispatching on the radio. And so right now we have a vacancy rate for our PCO1s of 11, and then PCO2 we have 17 vacancies. So I would say that we're about a fourth of our staffing below what we would want. But that's kind of what we're doing now with regard to trying to help with the recruitment, because in the past we've lost people where they could not they could do call-taking duties, but then when it came to the radio, it just got a little bit too difficult for them. And so we're hoping by changing how we do business that we would attract more people. We have our own in-house academy, and so we have a training staff that will provide them classroom training. And then once they complete their classroom training, they're put out on the watch to do on-the-job training. And so for the new classification for our communications officer 1, it's 6 months of training.
We're accepting applications on a continuous basis, so they can apply anytime at our website, joinhonolulupd.org. And that's for both positions, the police recruit or the police communications officer. Specifically for this police communications officer position, once they apply online within 1 week, if they meet the minimum qualifications for the job, which is a high school diploma or a GED, and 1 year of public work experience, so any sort of work experience that involves public contact, whether it's answering questions to the public, relaying interpretation of policies, procedures, but it just has to be something about dealing with the public. So retail would qualify. It cannot really be your first job because you're coming into this high-stress environment, but it's also very rewarding. So once you meet those minimum qualifications, you'll get an invitation to take an online performance test. It's a job simulation test where it's testing your typing speed, your typing accuracy. You need to be able to at least type 35 words per minute accurately. It kind of runs you through sample 911 calls through your headset or your speakers, and you have to input information into a form, and it's going to track your speed and accuracy with that. There's other areas such as cross-referencing, memorization, and map reading, but there's nothing really you can study. It's just testing your skills and your abilities at that point. So for someone that passes that test, within one business day, they'll move right on into our background investigation phase. So it's a very quick process. It can take as little as 3 months to clear everything. And for a police department or a job in law enforcement, it's very quick. Previously, our processing was about 12 to 18 months for any position with the department. So after that background investigation phase, they do a personal history statement where they fill out an online form about their life history. A background investigation is conducted, and then they do a psychological evaluation and a polygraph, so a lie detector.
And you mentioned that, you know, these are high-stress jobs, but a lot of people thrive on that, you know, high-stress energy.
Yes, that's true. Sal, you can talk more about that.
So it's very high stress. And our people, you know, that's one thing that you have to be able to handle. You have to be able to be somewhat empathetic for the people that's calling in, and yet still maintain your composure and, you know, try to retrieve all of the information. So it can be stressful. There are also rewarding moments, knowing that you made somebody's day, you changed their life for that whatever crisis they had. So it goes both ways. For me personally, I've been here almost 37 years, and, you know, it's been both stressful and rewarding at the same time. And so, you know, it's a job that you don't take lightly. Once you're here, I think you stay here. And we have people that are here 40 years. And so there's something in it for them, and it's helping people. And that's what you really sign up for, is to make a difference in someone else's life. And it is about helping people. I don't think that there's another job like it, really. We have to be able to separate ourselves. We have to be able to be compassionate and be empathetic at the same time. But yet we have a job to do, and we do it. And later on, you know, there are times when we have to take a break, talk with our supervisors and say, you know, I just need a moment. This call was really hard for me, or this incident on the radio was very difficult for me. And then we talk them through, and, you know, we bring in peer support if they need it. And so we have mechanisms within HPD that will help our people, too, on those cases that really impact them, so that they know that what they did was the best they could do at that particular moment. Because we make life and death decisions every single day for every single call that we pick up. And so we never know what's going to be on that next call. And we approach each call in that same fashion.
And we're here talking on 9/11, you know,
you know, we do have unsung heroes, too, in the communication center. And, you know, the first responders out on the field depend on our people to make sure that they know where they are, to send them to the cases, to send them to the right addresses. They depend. We're kind of like their lifeline as well. And so our people here in the comm center are really unsung heroes as well. And just like those first responders in 9/11, same thing. You know, we feel the impact that they feel, and we're behind the scenes, but we feel it as well.
If you look at how the system is set up with someone needing help, they truly are the first responders. They're the first people that come in contact with the caller or the general public to request police, fire, or even medical assistance, right? Officers on the road wouldn't know where to go or what's needed without the dispatchers or the communications officers. So it It is true how they're saying, like, they're the heroes behind the badge. They're the true first responders. A lot of the traits that Thalia was mentioning, a lot of these traits are the same thing that's needed for recruits or police officers. So both fields kind of have the same drive. It's just a matter of sometimes people might not want to be out there in the street.
What's the best thing? I don't know. What do you love about your job?
What I love about the job is that every day is a new day. And every day I have a chance to make a difference for someone. And I don't think that I would still be here if I didn't have that goal at the forefront. You know, whether it's working on the floor, answering the phones, or helping somebody behind the scenes because, you know, maybe they are having a difficult day. And as a supervisor, I have to be responsible for that to make sure that I keep an eye on my people as well. You know, if they're struggling with something, I need to be there for them as well. So from a supervisory perspective, I think I wear two hats. One, you know, if I'm helping people on the call. Two, if I'm helping my person sitting behind that telephone as well, so, or at the radio. And so it's been exciting. I love it. I'm not sure, you know, in the horizon where my retirement will be, but it will be somewhere down the road. I'm not quite ready yet. And there's a lot of people out there that I know that would be good people that could do this job. But the first thing they have to have is the want to help people.
So for me, it's the opportunity to make change and make a difference. And now that's such a generic answer that we hear from applicants that are trying to become police recruits too. I want to serve my community. I want to make a change. But once you get into the department, there's so many different things and everyone has their own drive, right? So say some people want to work with kids, then maybe you go into a division that deals with juveniles or activities league. Other people might have history of domestic violence or something along those lines, and you want to go into that area. For me, particularly, I was a dispatcher before becoming a police recruit in the mainland. And part of my drive to get on the other side of the radio was I was encountering officers that really I didn't feel should be officers. They weren't doing it for the right reasons. And in my head, the only way I thought I could change that was becoming an officer and being that change that you want to see in the community, right? Especially right now with all the volatility in the mainland, nationwide, just the opinion of policing and the community policing relationship. The only way stuff like that's going to change is if good people sign up and become officers. And it's not going to fix itself on its own. So the people that don't like it have to be that change. So with that said, coming to this department, moving back home and joining HPD was wanting to be a positive reflection of what policing and that community policing relationship could be. Every division provides its own opportunities for self-reward, right? Being in recruitment, we're kind of being that funnel or that guide for potential recruits. So making sure we're hiring the best of the best and people that want to do it for the right reasons. Right now, there's so much uncertainty, especially here in Hawaii with the economy and with challenges COVID has placed on not only the economy, but just, you know, the ability to survive, right, without income or benefits or losing position, or losing your job or being laid off, temporary furloughs, whatnot. This is an essential position, both the police recruit and the police communications officer. So these jobs aren't going anywhere.
That was HPD's Officer Tori Securis and Communications Supervisor Thalia Burns talking about the hundreds of job openings in the Honolulu Police Department. For links, head to our website, HawaiiPublicRadio.org.